What's up, everyone? Welcome to Virtual Coffee with Star and David, where we talk all things brews, real estate, and wealth.
By the end of this episode, we want you to be able to define wealth and your why for wealth building for yourself. For real estate and wealth building tips, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and our YouTube channel at Ohana House. And if you're watching here on YouTube, go ahead and like, turn on your notification bell, and come and chat with us in the comment section below.
I'm a realtor and a sales professional, and we're both real estate entrepreneurs who begun changing our lives through wealth building strategies, and we want to help you do the same. But we love coffee.
We do.
So before we jump into today's topic, we're going to talk about what's in our cup.
Cheers. What's in your cup, babe?
In today's cup, we have the fall blend from Blue Roasters Coffee. It has notes of toasted pecans, apple cider, and nutmeg. Trick question. Is it pecans or is it pecans?
It's wherever you're from. I personally prefer pecans.
I'm from up north. It's actually pecans, but I've been down south long enough. There's pecans.
It's pecans. Yeah.
Okay. So my method of brew today was the pour over, because I just love the seeping grounds through the filter and the slow, patient pouring of the water, taking out all of the carbon dioxide in the beans. It's just a great process, and I feel like I've grown to love the pour over method. So I definitely recommend it. What do you think?
I think it's tasty.
Tasty?
We like our coffee black, but we also like lattes. You'll learn more about that later on if you keep listening or watching this podcast.
We'll talk a little more about the lattes. So don't be latte.
Oh my God.
I just had to get that out.
That was almost the name of this podcast. I'm so glad it wasn't. Like that, I don't get it. I was just staring at him for a minute. Like, I don't get it.
You all comment, don't be latte. I think it is amazing.
Don't be latte, babe. Nobody says that.
I'm gonna make it a thing.
Please. It sounds like you don't like lattes. That's what it sounds like.
Oh my goodness. But you also try this fall blend. It's really great.
So let's get into today's topic. This is the first episode of Virtual Coffee with Star and David.
Yes.
And this podcast, if you didn't know already, is about wealth building and real estate. Before we get into the nitty gritty of tips and strategies, we thought it was super important to lay some foundation.
Yeah.
Because things like real estate investing, generational wealth building have become in some ways like buzz phrases.
Oh yeah, hands down.
Nowadays, and people throw it around without really explaining what they mean when they say it. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to talk about what we mean when we say wealth building and what wealth building means to us, but we wanted to make sure that we are not deflecting and we are not projecting our values and our definitions on you, because we believe that wealth and wealth building are deeply personal and subjective. What I think wealth is for me, what being wealthy looks like for me is different, or maybe different than what it might look like for you, or how you might define wealth, building wealth, or being the idea of being wealthy.
Yeah.
So we want to give you some questions that will help you begin the reflection process on your own journey of your own wealth building journey of defining what that means.
As my wife said, I mean, she made a great point. We're just going to propose some questions to you to jumpstart your process. If I'm being completely honest with you, I think before you even continue to follow through on these questions, you should definitely write it down and put it in a place that you can see it every day you wake up, just to remind yourself, what is the why? What is the reason behind? Why am I trying to pursue this wealth journey? So I'm going to ask the first question. I'm going to ask you, what does wealth mean to you?
Okay. So I actually looked up the Oxford definition of wealth, and it says an abundance of valuable possessions or money. And this definition doesn't really resonate well with me because it feels like hoarding resources. Mm. So my personal definition of wealth is the ability to distribute resources.
Okay.
Having the power to distribute resources. That's what wealth means to me.
Expound on that a little bit.
So I believe, well, so you can have an abundance. So resources, like anything that you need, right? Yeah. Or anything that anyone needs that they can use and do something with, whether that might be a food resource, shelter resources, financial resources, educational resources. Resources are things that people need and things that people can use. Largely when we talk about wealth, especially in Western culture, we're mostly talking about monetary things.
Absolutely.
But those monetary things we use to exchange for other goods and resources that we need. And in my mind, having an abundance of something while other people have none of it or mm-hmm. very little of it seems inequitable to me. And so for me, the reason why I say wealth is the power to distribute resources is because I believe that if you get to the point where you are obtaining the abundance of whatever that resource is for you, whether that's money, whether that's information, whether that is food, mm-hmm. whether that is you have a ton of apples in your backyard
yeah.
and you can't consume them all and they're going to go to waste. So instead of wasting them or instead of like storing them up for yourself,
yeah.
you are then sharing all of these apples with everyone in your neighborhood or everyone in your family. To me, that's wealthy. I have a wealth of this. So if mm-hmm. I have a wealth of money, I am using it to be able to improve the outcomes for other people. But that's for me.
Yeah.
What about you, babe?
Yeah, you know, I had to really think about this definition of wealth, the way I define it, because I look at it from so many different perspectives. And honestly, on the top end, 45,000 feet view, wealth is a journey, not a destination. Mm. And I actually like to put wealth in so many different buckets, but I'm going to use two for sure. Education, right? I say wealth is the ability to be educated and to educate, because you hear the saying all the time, like has a wealth of knowledge, mm-hmm. right? And I look at education not only from a theory aspect, but I look at it from experiences. Mm-hmm. So I like to look at it from that way. There's so many tools and resources, like our podcast, Hint Hint, mm-hmm. that you can get a wealth of information from, strategies and things like that to take, to act on, and to hopefully, you know, we're not professionals, obviously, from the aspect of like the thought leaders, right? Like we are learning through our experiences and taking people through that aspect. So I would say just using the resources that you have where we can learn. And I also believe that wealth is leverage. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you hear another saying in just a lot of different spaces, especially me being a sales professional, like your network is your net worth, right? Like your network is your net worth. So really being able to leverage your relationships, because you never know where the people that you meet in what spaces, and later on down the line, what type of partnerships, what type of just collaborations that may take place that can also help you to get to wealth a lot faster than doing it by yourself. So I implore to everyone, just really steward the relationships that you have with people, because you never know, especially if you're pursuing a wealth journey, a wealth building journey, just steward those relationships. You never know.
So you mentioned educational wealth and you also mentioned relational wealth.
Yeah.
How would you define wealth beyond those two specific areas?
I would define wealth as well. I think you and I were kind of talking offline a little bit about this. I define wealth as far as if I were to be gone today, God forbid, what do I have to leave for you as my wife? Mm-hmm. So I define that like what are the assets do I have in place that if I were no longer here, number one, I'll be able to take care of all my debt. Number two, would be able to leave you something. Mm-hmm. So that's how I, very high level, we go into the nitty gritty and deeper aspects when we continue to define our why. But mm-hmm. just on a high level, I would definitely say, what do I have? Can it take care of my liabilities and also still leave you with assets after that?
Yeah. I think if you think about like a number, you might be looking for, or you might see people who say like this amount, if you make over this amount,
mm-hmm.
you are wealthy.
Yeah.
Or if you have this amount in assets, then you are wealthy. But like we said earlier, that isn't really true, because depending on like where you live in the world, mm-hmm. even where you live in the country, if you're in the United States, $100,000 one place and $100,000 another place could get you two completely different lifestyles. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important to define what wealth looks like for you in your context, based on like your geographic location, also your lifestyle, what Absolutely. You value, how you spend money, how you live, what are your expenses, what are your debts? Because if you make $100,000, but your payments every month are like, I don't know, $10,000, mm-hmm. you are not wealthy. Or if you make $100,000, you're in debt and you have no liquid assets, mm-hmm. you also aren't wealthy, because you're essentially still living paycheck to paycheck, even on a higher salary, depending on where you live, because $100,000 on the West Coast isn't the same as it is here on the East Coast. We live in Atlanta. And so that number is really interesting. I've kind of have a number.
What's your number, babe? Tell me.
So... And this isn't like, and this is a number of like, this isn't how I define like being wealthy. I think you can be wealthy before this number.
Okay.
But for me, as far as like a goal, is to have $1 million net worth. Okay. And the reason why I say net worth and not necessarily like $1 million in my account or making $1 million, because again, like I said, you can have $1 million in your account, but also have $1 million of debt. Yeah. Your net worth is zero. You can make $1 million and have no actual other like assets, depending on your spending habits or your lifestyle. But if you have $1 million net worth, it means that your assets, you have $1 million worth of assets, mm-hmm. that outweigh the amount of liabilities that you have.
Okay.
And so you are able to then cover your liabilities, mm-hmm. and still have wealth that you can do other things with, you can have resources you can do other things with. And so when I think about, again, like it's not necessarily about having $1 million in my bank account, mm-hmm. but having $1 million real estate portfolio for me is definitely like a resource that, for an example, I have multiple properties that I am able to provide stable housing, affordable housing for, mm-hmm. other people who might live in those properties. That's important for me because I'm able to now have the power to distribute a housing resource based on my $1 million portfolio, mm-hmm. for example. That's kind of an example of one way that I am, like one of my wealth goals, I, mm-hmm. will say. Maybe I should say I should have a $1 million portfolio, but I don't want that to mean that I am $1 million in leverage for that same portfolio, mm-hmm. which is why I say net worth.
And I think even like adding on to that, like obviously we're going to go deeper into that and talking about why real estate is a great avenue to wealth building. You know, but this is also in the wealth aspect outside of real estate, you know, like how we talk about having appreciating life insurance policies and things like that to help, mm-hmm. get you to that net worth tracker, as you were talking about. So, mm-hmm. that's a great point.
Yes. So if you are watching this on YouTube, go ahead and comment down below and tell us what wealth means for you. It's okay if you're still defining that. Yeah. Let us know what you're thinking, what's churning in your mind, mm-hmm. as you define wealth for yourself. Whether that's a general definition or even if it's a numeric definition of like, if I get to this point, then this is when I think that I am wealthy.
Such a good point.
So moving on to defining your why.
All right now.
I know that no matter what journey you are on, so we're in this context, we're talking about a wealth building journey.
Yeah.
But I know that in any journey, a lot of people talk about defining your why. That, yeah. is not, it shouldn't be a foreign concept if you've done any like personal development, business development,
yeah.
any type of work that requires planning and reflection. Typically, you're asked to define your why. And especially with wealth building, and especially in the context of where wealth building and generational wealth have become so popular to, yeah. talk about, and you end up talking about it and talking around it without actually knowing why you care. Mm-hmm. Now, it's one thing for like people to say that it matters,
yeah.
but like, why does it matter to you? Yeah. You know, why does it matter to me? Why does it matter specifically to you in your context?
Yeah.
Not just what someone told you, but what you have, the conclusions that you have drawn to yourself. Why do you even care about building wealth? Mm-hmm. And we want to pose these questions to you to really help you to begin that reflection process. So you can begin to just start to really map that out. So as you go on your journey, you don't get so lost in the what and the outcome mm-hmm. that you can like get to this place of like, why do I even care about the outcome? Right? Like, mm-hmm. who cares? Who says you need to be a millionaire or billionaire? Like, I know like this thing about becoming a billionaire has been talked about lately because of like Tyler Perry and mm-hmm. other people who have recently mm-hmm. become billionaires. It's like, mm-hmm. but why?
Yeah.
But why do we even care about mm-hmm. that? I personally don't have a desire to be a billionaire. But like,
if it fell in our lap, I just want to be clear. If it fell in our lap, we wouldn't mind.
I don't even know if it is possible for becoming a billionaire to fall in your lap. Like, like there are people who are very wealthy who never become billionaire status. I don't know if that falls in your lap. But what I'm saying is, like, you see that, you say, like, oh, yeah, I mm-hmm. want to become a billionaire one day. Why, though? Why do you even care? So my first question that I want to pose to you and I want you to write down and to reflect on is, what would obtaining wealth solve in your personal life? That's question number one. And, babe, I'm going to pose that to you. What would obtaining wealth solve in your personal life?
So I'm going to tell you from just experience of what I'm living through in the past 2 years of marriage. I mean, 2 years of being together and 1 year of marriage. Mm-hmm. Thank God. From experience, as I look back, what is building wealth on this journey solve for me? It takes me back to a place when I couldn't qualify for a home. Mm-hmm. And turned for me not qualifying for a home. My credit score was in the dumps, and to have my credit score be increased over 100 points within a year mm-hmm. to end up qualifying for a new construction home, which we're in now, mm-hmm. That we can live, that we can build with, we can build together, and, you know, Lord willing, to have children as well here. That was huge for me, being able to pay down debt, which was a big deal. And also, honestly, help to fund our wedding.
Yes. That was one thing that starting our wealth building journey or being on a wealth building journey definitely helped us to pay for our wedding without A, going into debt, mm-hmm. into additional Amen. Debt, and B, not exhausting our savings because we were actually in opposition because of that. David was very stern on not wanting a wedding, a one-day event, to cause us to go into debt. Mm-hmm. I do not want to go into a marriage without any liquid assets.
Yeah.
For me, that was important. I'm like, we can afford a payment and we can still have money in the bank once this day is over. Then I'd rather charge it than to be completely depleted after this wedding, which are both good concepts.
Good intentions.
Yeah. And we both cared about our finances. We were both on the wealth building journey to where we thought that both of those aspects were important. But us thinking through creative strategies, we're able to meet both of those mm-hmm. goals at the same time because we were able to like leverage resources that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as I look back, I think, obviously we've made the right decision, I would like to say.
Mm-hmm. One way that building wealth or starting to build wealth has solved a problem for me is there was a time like 3.5 years ago where I had to have roommates in order to cover my housing expenses, my housing costs.
Yeah.
And now I am in a place, we're in a place where we're able to invest in multiple properties mm-hmm. and cover multiple mortgages when I was struggling to cover one with a roommate.
Wow.
And I think that really like learning and strategizing and finding ways to increase income, mm-hmm. finding ways to eliminate debt has really benefited me in that way, in like really fine tuning my personal wealth building journey to get to at least this point. Although we are not, again, like we're not exactly where we want to be. I think, like you said, babe, that wealth building is a journey, not a destination. I mean, you like your number could be a destination, but it's still a journey. Like if you get there, mm-hmm. like then what? Like That's why your why is so important, because you can get something and be like, I still don't feel fulfilled. Like, if you think that, like, getting, being wealthy is going to make you happy just in itself because you have these resources, is like, but what, to what end? And like, wealth isn't the end. We have we have an end, and that end might look different for each and every one of us, like what our end is, but we see wealth as just a vehicle. It's just a means to get to that end.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to make a point. I was thinking about this as you were talking. Even along the journey, I think it's very important that as you begin, if you are just starting off in this wealth building journey, or if even if you're in your wealth building journey and trying to adapt and adjust, to don't play the comparison game.
Yeah.
Because I think it's important for you to understand, like, your individual experiences, your decisions that you make, right? They all shape us into what we learn from our past to what we'll do differently in the future. So it's just like being really honed in on, like, how am I running this race, right? Yeah. What did I learn from the past that I'll know going forward? Like, you know, you and I, when we talk about finances, sometimes we think about stuff we did in the past, like, okay, that didn't work last time, so I'm not going to do that. And it's just like, but we're still running our own race together.
But what may work for one person may not work. Like,
exactly.
We'll talk about specific things that we've done in this podcast, and what some things that might work for us, somebody was like, I would never do that, or I'm not in a position to do that. Or I may have a better way to do that in a different way than you did, because I have X, Y, and Z resources that maybe we didn't have. And so that's why it's important to learn from others.
Absolutely.
But one thing we want to do through this podcast is teach you how to, like, come up with your path yourself. We can, like, you can glean from us, but we want to continuously ask you to reflect and to define and to clarify on your own and what's in your context, based on your values, based on your definitions, based on your reasons.
And tagging on to my wife, we want to inspire creativity.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we stand on here in this podcast, Virtual Coffee, is inspiring, creating, and also illuminating. Yeah. We want to make sure that this is a safe space for your community, that you can communicate with us. Like, let's talk, let's create that ecosystem that we can all bounce ideas off each other. There may be things and people you may be listening and watching right now, you may have some ideas that we don't know.
Yeah.
And we can take something off of you as well. So we just want to create that ecosystem.
And a few other problems in our personal life that we think that wealth will help us to solve.
Please help us.
So we still have student loan debt. And I mean, we are kind of, so, you know, we're in the middle about, like, I don't care about student loan debt.
Our prioritization is different.
Yeah, it's definitely a low priority. Mm-hmm. So we have student loans and we don't really care about them that much.
Yeah.
Which is why we still have them. They definitely are a low priority, right, babe?
Definitely a low priority.
Oh, thanks. But we do want to pay them off one day. We don't want to have student loan debt forever. But, you know, it's like the lowest interest rate debt that we have.
Well, there's a hack for you too. It actually works in your favor.
Oh yeah, because I always forget about that. I work for a nonprofit. So after 10 years of working for a nonprofit, my loans are forgiven.
Take your time, babe.
We don't rest on that because, you know, with political climates, all those resources could change.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think what am I, like, five years in at this point, which is, like, you know, almost halfway there. But, you know, if I get five more years and I'm able to utilize that,
yeah,
we're good. But we're building our wealth despite that resource that might be available. But, you know, as we continue to build wealth, we'll eventually get to our student loans. But it's just definitely not high priority. They haven't stopped us from being able to do anything that we wanted to do so far. We also want to pay off my car. We only have one car loan now, and it's only my car. And so we definitely plan to pay that off soon, within the next year.
So. And I think also, I mean, even when we talk about that, it's just continuing to expand our real estate portfolio. As we said earlier, you know, real estate is one of the things that we both had a love for. I mean, I came in as a realtor and you were a real estate entrepreneur. So we both seen a vision of wanting to expand our portfolio. Let me ask you, our next question is, what would change in the world or your world if you obtained wealth.
Say it again for the people in the back.
For the people in the back, amen. I just felt like a pastor. I leaned in like a pastor right there. I felt it. What would change in the world or your world if you obtained wealth?
So we think this question is important. We have three questions. One is about the right now, which is the last question about what problem.
What it would solve.
What problem would building wealth solve right now in your personal life? Mm-hmm. This question is more about beyond you. What would change in the world or at least in your sphere of influence?
Yeah.
If you were to build wealth.
Absolutely.
And again, like there's no right or wrong answer to this question. You could say nothing. I just want to hoard wealth. While I don't particularly care about hoarding wealth, others might, not mine.
Yeah.
And that might be yours. It's like, I don't care beyond me and mine.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, and for many, thinking about what would change in the world and what would change your sphere of influence if you choose to build wealth and go on this journey, that's a super important question to determining your why, because you'll think through how to get to those ends. Like, what are the decisions that you're making on your wealth building journey helping mm-hmm. you to get to the end that you said that you desired?
Yeah.
For me, I don't know, baby, if you have yours.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't want my future children, Lord willing,
mm-hmm.
to have to experience the struggle, the quote unquote
struggle.
Like, I don't want spoiled children, but I don't want them to have to, like, it's the same thing about how I feel about, like, struggle, love. Like, why does it have to be rooted in struggle?
Wait.
We have enough struggle in our history.
You said something very important. I want you to repeat it for our children when they listen to our podcast. You don't want what kind of children?
I don't want spoiled children.
Amen.
I don't All right. want entitled children.
Okay.
I just don't want my children. I don't want my children to have to experience the struggle in order to exist in this world and
yeah.
be successful.
Yeah. I'm going to expound on that, but that's a good point. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You want me to go through all my points?
Yeah.
Or you want to
Yeah. Let's bounce. Let's
okay,
bounce back.
Go ahead.
I think you hit something very key, and it's something that I was thinking about as I was writing, as I was preparing for the podcast. What do I want to change in my world? I think about it a lot of times when we talk about wealth, even as we were listing the problems, like listing what will wealth solve for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
We usually position it from the things of what we need versus what we want.
Yeah. That's good.
And for me, like, I know, yes, in adulthood, if you don't know, now you know, it's like, yo, we're going to have bills.
Mm-hmm.
We have things we have to pay. There are obligations we have to meet as far as mortgages, student loans, I mean, medical bills. These are all obligations that we have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually position how well we're doing by how our bills are paid. But we never position it from, like, the joy that we actually can get out of life. So one thing I want to change in the world, in my world, in our world, is like, yes, we have the needs of necessity. I mean, the necessities, our bills are paid, a roof over our head, our children, Lord willing, if we have them, are fine, and that they have all their essentials. I also want us to have things that we want as well, because we're not called to live this life just to struggle, one.
And just to exist.
And,
yeah.
and to just exist. It's like there's joy in life.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's one thing I definitely want to have.
I want my family to be able to, when I say my family, I'm not meaning my nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, my family beyond this home, who will live in this home. I want my family to be able to live proactively instead of reactively.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, and it's kind of going along with what you just said about mm-hmm. like, okay, I have this bill, I can pay it. I have this come mm-hmm. up, I have to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're able to make proactive decisions. You're able to plan. You're able to invest. You're able to plan your life, to live your life in a way that isn't just, like, tossed
mm-hmm.
and swayed based on the environment,
and
based on
mm-hmm.
the circumstances that come up. And you're just one emergency away
mm-hmm.
from not having anything.
Yeah.
You're one emergency away from homeless, one emergency away from eviction, one emergency
mm-hmm.
away from being into debt to the point where you can't pay it. or one emergency away that if you lose your job, then you're not able to cover your day-to-day expenses.
Yeah.
And I want my family to be able to live in the way that they can proactively get ahead of all the necessities, all of those things in a way that, that you can then begin to be creative, to strategize, to share, to to come up with, like, to be able to focus resources on solving complex world issues. Like, you can't solve complex social issues if you can't even pay. Like, how am I going to solve for homelessness if I can't even pay my mortgage and my rent? It's difficult. It's difficult because I have to care so much about reacting to life circumstances that I don't have the time or the resources, but even like the mental capacity, the emotional capacity to care for things beyond what is in, under my roof. Because like the things that are meeting the needs under my roof is taking so much of my energy, so much of my care, my capacity, that like everything else beyond is like, I don't have time to worry about that. I don't have time to worry about who's doing this. I don't have time to worry about who else is struggling because I'm struggling. I need to solve this. But if we are able to be proactive in life, then we can know that those things are taken care of, but also able to pour resources, pour time, pour care, pour empathy, pour emotion, pour planning into things beyond ourselves and even our investments into the future, you know, as well.
I think you just, you hit a lot of different points there. You know, creating an ecosystem outside of your nuclear family. And I would even say, I would even push it further. The thing I want to change in my world and the people that are connected to my world is a resource. And the thing is about resources, either if it's from a knowledge base, from a financial base, like those type of resources is something growing up. And, you know, I think a big part about this too, and the way we position what we talk about, and even from a place of being in wealth, a lot of that's based on our upbringing, our circumstances, right? You know, and both you and I both growing up, right? Like we had the essentials, right? But as we learned and as we go through life, it's like, man, like we still miss so much, right? Our parents did as much as they can with everything that they had. And we thank them for it because it made us who we are today. I think though, if there's something I would like to change in my world going forward for anybody in our families that are coming up behind us is a resource, a legitimate resource. And resources doesn't mean that we know it all. We know people. Yeah. We have that leverage to lead people. Like, hey, listen, I don't know this space, but I know somebody.
Billy Bob over there.
He is great with fashion, you know, or such and such is good with marketing. Like, I mean, so many different spaces. So yeah, just creating our own ecosystem that it can be birthed into something else.
Another thing for me, and I don't know that wealth, I don't believe that only having wealth will change this.
Okay.
But I want to live in a world where this is true, is I want to live in a world where you can't predict someone's social economic outcomes based on their race. Because in especially in America, because I don't know the statistics outside of America, you can see where Black and Indigenous and Brown people are underrepresented in a lot of spaces, are overrepresented in negative outcomes. When it comes to this disparity in pay, the disparity in wealth, disparity in savings, like the disparity in representation in investment circles and all types of investment circles. I want to live in a world where you cannot, you cannot trace race back to how someone's social economic outcomes will end up for them. You can make a good, you can put in an equation with race and come up with a good predictor based on circumstances, race, where you were brought up, and determine how this person's life will turn up. It was a few years ago, I won a 30 and a 30 award in the nonprofit space. And one of our speakers spoke about in Southwest Atlanta, which is where I bought my first property, one of our properties in Southwest Atlanta. And in that area, it was something like 90 something percent of children born in that area will die in that area. They will never reach out for, and that area is predominantly Black.
Yeah.
Almost like now gentrification, huh? But
yeah,
typically people who are born there are Black,
mm-hmm.
and they don't get within a 2 mile radius of that area.
Mm.
And that predictor, that indicator,
yeah,
is not okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to live in the world where that continues to be true over time.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, I think about even growing up in Brooklyn, New York, like, I mean, the statistics for Black and brown people was, treacherous. Like, I mean, I think I told you about this, like the high school mm-hmm. I graduated from, the graduation rate was under 50%.
Mm-hmm.
We had 4,000 kids.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like to a predominantly Black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So it's just like all those things. And like, even the aspect of like our, it's crazy. So getting out the hood growing up, honestly, has been like moving. Like that's been like the concept of like, oh, okay, well, this is our best chance.
Yeah.
And so I like what you're saying about just not being able to predict socioeconomic outcomes based on race. That's and huge.
Zip codes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. Which leads me to my last point for this question about what do I want? What will change in my world or in the world based on us obtaining wealth? One thing that's important to us, and I work in homelessness. I believe that housing is a human right.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that everyone should have housing, and that there are also a lot of voucher holders who still have barriers for achieving housing, or I don't want to say achieving because it shouldn't be earned. They still have barriers to being able to be placed in housing because there is, discrimination based on someone having a housing voucher. There are negative stereotypes associated with voucher holders.
Absolutely.
And for us, we prioritize building wealth through real estate. And we also are landlords for voucher holders, Section 8, that kind of thing. And that's important to us that we provide properties, rental properties, shelter.
Resource.
That we provide permanent housing to folks who have those vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
And the more properties that we can acquire, the more people that we can help to be able to obtain housing who need housing assistance.
Yeah.
And that's super important to us. I know there are a lot of people who don't care at all to have voucher holders or just provide affordable housing. Even someone who doesn't have a voucher, but to be able to just provide housing that is affordable.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. And even like, me being a realtor and just hearing the conversation, it's very interesting. And I think that actually goes under my why as well, being able to provide resources to people that are overlooked. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes, it's very sad. Knowing what I know now on my journey, on a wealth building journey, it's like even like, very stringent requirements on people looking to get a house, right? Like, oh, you have to have a 700 credit score. You don't know my why. you don't know why am I at this place to not have a 700 credit score. It's just very interesting to watch and talk with sellers and landlords who are looking for tenants and things like that. And even just like when you bring up voucher holders, it's like a hot button. We don't do that. And it's very sad, actually.
Yeah, and housing authorities have to provide incentives for landlords, and a lot of landlords don't even want those incentives. But also, the housing authority also puts so many requirements on landlords that makes it unfavorable. So even improving that system to where it's easier for both landlords and tenants to go through that process. It has to happen as well.
An equitable system for both parties.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that it's equitable for landlords, but I just think that if they really want landlords to have a good experience, and then before you even get to the tenant, just the process of going through
inspections and all that
stuff. The process of even getting a tenant can be overly difficult, especially if you want people to be able to have access to housing. Like, why make it a 60-day process? How can we make this process 30 days or less, or 2 weeks or less, so that people can get into, like, because the more barriers you put up for landlords, it's really the more the tenants are the ones that suffer the most.
Absolutely.
From that. But anyways, that's kind of a tangent. But also I want to say about us choosing real estate to build wealth and a why for us too, is that there are people who, even who, like I said, aren't voucher holders, who need affordable housing and have no desire to rent. I mean, to purchase a home. There are people who are comfortable renting, and we still want to be able to provide housing resources for those people, because while we think that real estate is important and buying a home is a smart decision, they may not be the right decision for everyone, and we don't ever preach a one-size-fits-all model. And so that's the way for us, and we want to be a resource for all of those folks as well.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But our third question that we think is important for you to reflect on and to answer to help you shape your why is, what do you want to be remembered for?
Ooh.
And again, this is something like when we talked about it, David laughed because he's like, oh, this is another question that you might hear a lot. But how often have you actually really reflected on it, written it down, and made decisions based on whatever that answer is?
Oh, because
sometimes we like say things, but we don't really put a lot of thought into it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to hold us accountable to it, or we don't even know how to achieve that thing that we say that we want. But before we can even get to that point, we have to determine, like, what is the end game? What is the end goal? What do you want your life to be remembered for? And babe, I'll ask you that question. What do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah. And before I even let you know what I want to be remembered for, I hope y'all are writing this down. Side note.
Yes. I hope you've written down all the questions that we've posed so far on the podcast.
And we'll give a concise question 1, 2, 3 at the end, just so in case anyone has made it to the end and like, what is the question?
And missed it. We'll recap.
This is huge. This is actually big, because I feel like I can go down so many different routes with wealth building. Like, there's so many things I want to do. Man, there's a lot of things I want to do.
What do you want to leave behind? I mean, what do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be a resource to anyone in my ecosystem that can provide real estate insight, finances in the community. I think
you want people to remember you for that. Not now. This is like, once you're dead and gone, what do you want to be remembered?
Well, yes, I would want somebody to remember me for providing them financial resources to help jumpstart their wealth building journey. Because I look back and there's some people that I've spoken to and been entangled with that has helped me gather more knowledge to obtain wealth. So yeah, I would say yes. And I remember them to this day. We still may not speak like that, but I remember them.
Okay.
Next, I want to be remembered for as a person that invested in people.
That's good, babe.
And that's not only from a financial aspect. That's just from like your time, talent, and treasure. We talk about that a lot, about investing that, but I want people to know, like, hey, like, I believe in what you're pursuing and that I'm there to invest in you and whatever that may look like on your journey. I want to be remembered for that. And also, speaking of like investing in people, I'm very big on giving back to the community of younger generations behind me. I look back, a little background about me. I played basketball in high school and college, and the amount of people that gave me free resources that has been so important to like my building up as a man and even walking into adulthood has been huge. So I definitely want to be able to provide resource to kids that may not have the guidance. And I think sometimes even a perception and misnomer, in my opinion, of like, just because you have a mom and dad at home means that you have everything you need. For like the aspect of like, oh, well, he has his parents at home. You know, they're a great married couple. That don't mean that they have all the financial insights. That doesn't mean
just because you have a roof over your head
that you're good. Yeah. like there's so many different perceptions that like I want to be able to meet kids where they are to help them on their journey and stepping out, you know, for kids that want to be entrepreneurs, right? You know, that's a very big buzzword too. Entrepreneurs.
It's only for kids?
Huh? No, I think that's adults too. But but I'm saying for me, like I also believe in like giving back to the generation coming up behind me. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying like I want to remember it's like, hey, yes, he helped generations behind him mm-hmm. kind of push them forward as well.
Yeah.
And then lastly, I really believe in like immediate impact in my community. Like right now I don't have any kids, right? We don't have any kids. Mm-hmm. So I really want my biggest goal, if I can do this, I feel like, man, this is going to be amazing. I really want to create scholarships for kids in the community that I live, no matter where I am. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't know how many scholarships I'll be able to afford, but giving kids scholarships to say like, hey, like we believe in your dreams. We believe in your passions. And like, hey, you may not, for instance, for a kid that's going to college, like, hey, like I got a full scholarship, but I can't afford board, for instance, right? I can afford rooming. I got an apartment, but I may need food. Like being able to invest in that, give them a scholarship. Hey, like apply this to whatever college expenses you need.
Because you're being interested in like doing an endowment, having an endowment in your name.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, that sounds very, yeah. But yeah, that's what I would want to do, something like that.
You're so excited about that. It's so cute.
Because I think about my path, right? Just like how we talked about earlier about like, we don't want our children. And for me, I don't want my children or children that I can affect mm-hmm. and impact. I don't want them to go through some of the things that I went through that affected the trajectory of how I went through college, for instance, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, my last year and a half, 2 years of college, I worked 2 full-time jobs and I went to school full-time.
Yeah.
If I can help a child, hey, apply for this grant or whatever, however we decide to do it. But I'm giving you $5,000. For me, $5,000 in that time when I was doing all those different things could have been huge. So like to be able to provide that and not to have a child really think about, I can just focus on school. Like, you remember you and I spoke about it?
Yeah, I had only one semester. So I had a similar college experience where my freshman year of college, I worked 2 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Like, I think I failed 2 classes. One didn't really matter. I kind of dropped it, but I dropped it late to where it still counted. It was still on my transcript.
Yeah.
And then I failed another one. But I had 2 jobs and I was still broke. I still had,
I lived in the red,
no money. and I couldn't afford college and I had to like transfer schools. And I had one semester my junior year where I didn't work. I was still broke, but I had moved back home with my parents to where like I was broke. I had bills late and stuff like that, but I wasn't going to be homeless because of it. And so that semester I had the best grades that I ever had my entire college career. I almost had a straight A's. And I was like, man, is this what it's like to not have to work in college? The one semester I was broke because my parents couldn't afford to like really like take care of me.
Fund your lifestyle, yeah.
Yeah, that was just a time like I was a server. The restaurant that I was working for went out of business. So it was some months that I didn't have a job after that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was, I would, because of that one semester that I got a chance to work, to not have to work and go to school and saw how I was able to really like focus in on my studies, I would love for other to provide those opportunities for others whose parents, like mine, like my parents couldn't afford for me to do that, which is why I was only one semester. But I would love for that to be a norm, like can we normalize that? Mm-hmm. Not just in certain communities or in certain social economic households, but can we like normalize that across the board for others who desire to have a traditional education journey?
Absolutely.
For me, are you done, baby?
Yeah, you got it.
Rumbling. So hungry. I literally haven't eaten today. What time is it?
We're on a diet. It's fine. We're on a fast.
We're going to order some food after this podcast.
We're on a pre-podcast fast.
Yeah, we had to make sure that we were sharp for, we wouldn't have any food or anything for the podcast. So
I could do a little crumbs.
We didn't want to have anything in our teeth or anything. So we thought we'd starve ourselves. I'm just joking. So what I want to be remembered for leaving no one behind. I want to be able to, through my work, through this, through a haunted house, through this podcast,
virtual coffee,
through everything that I do, I want my legacy to be around leaving no one behind on that journey.
Like, that still fits you.
Yeah, I don't want to do all these things, and it was just to my own benefit. I want to be known for creating a legacy of people who are holistically wealthy, meaning these people don't have to pass up on opportunities because they don't have the education, access, or resources to take advantage of it. Because there are a lot of things that, like, I mean, we just say college, for example. There are a lot of people who might want to go to college, but they have to pass it up, not because they don't want to, because there are people who can be successful in life without going to college. So I'm not saying that that's like an end all be all. But there are people who want to go and who would benefit from going, but can't go because they don't have the access, the resources, the finances, to even be able to take advantage of that. So I wanted to leave a legacy of people, that those people being people in my family, but also people in my community, who don't have to pass up on any opportunity that they want to take advantage of because of access and resources or education. And that's important to me. I want to be known for not being a hoarder of wealth, which kind of piggybacks on, like, I think it's something that you have to continue to check yourself on along this wealth building journey, because that's why defining your why is so important, because you can get caught up in numbers and things and materials. And I don't ever want to be known for being a hoarder of wealth. I think these are yours. I think those are all of mine.
Yeah, I think.
I was like, I think these are your notes.
She's very concise, y'all. I like it.
Yeah, I was pretty concise. But yeah, I want to be known for, like you said, I think it goes together, to be a resource.
Yeah, I like
So if we were to summarize those questions that we asked, one, we asked you to define what wealth means for you.
Absolutely.
So you can have a high level view of what wealth means for you, like theoretically, but also come up with a numerical number or a more tangible definition that you can set for yourself, so you know when you've achieved it and when you aren't. You want your goals to be measurable, so you know at every point of your journey, you know how close you are to your goals, and also creating milestones around those as well.
Yeah.
So that you can see your progress over time. Like we talked about in our question number one of defining your why, our first question was, what would building wealth solve for you in your personal life? But we talked about what building wealth has solved for us so far in our journey, but we also talked about what we want to solve even in the future as we continue our wealth building journey. So think about, as you define your why, what problem will wealth building solve in your personal life? Also think about, what would change in the world or in your world as a result of you obtaining wealth? And lastly, think about what you want to be remembered for.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's our call to action for you. Share your reflections and end this video with someone who can hold you accountable. Accountability is huge.
Yes.
Comment down below.
Tell us your why. Tell us why you want to build wealth.
While you're at it, join our email list.
Join our email list. We'll be sharing resources through our email list as well. So go ahead and join that. And again, this podcast is available on all podcasting platforms. So go ahead and rate and subscribe to the podcast.
Please.
And if you're listening to this, you might want to watch us on YouTube at the Ohana House YouTube channel.
Say that again for the people in the back.
If you are listening to this, you might want to watch us on YouTube at the Ohana House YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe to this channel.
Yes.
Like this video and let's chat in the comment section below. Grab your coffee. Cheers.
Cheers.
Have a conversation with us. We want to talk about it. Tell us what you've been thinking about. What has this conversation brought up for you? What have you been thinking about? Write it down. Share it with us. Share it with someone who you want to hold you accountable. We hope that this podcast was helpful for you on your journey. And we look forward to providing more content, more tips, more strategies around real estate and wealth building in the future. And we'll have some guests that will come along on this journey with us on this podcast. So stay tuned for that in the future as well.
And once again, thanks again for tuning in.
Yes.
It's a virtual coffee with Star and David, all things brews, real estate, and wealth. Until next time.
Bye.
See ya.